back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, guys, back here. Final hour. Heat Wave Sports. I'm Tom Barton from TomBartonSports.com. Sitting in with none other than Brian Feldman. Brian, tell them when they can catch you. The morning show.
Yeah, every Sunday morning, I am right here, same station, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. The show is called Out of Line, and I have a lot of fun. Chris Magnum produces the show with me. Jose Vellante helps out, and we always get a lot of people here from Lotus and some cool guests. And you've been on the show, Tommy. Have a lot of fun on Sunday mornings, and I try to make sure that I'm always out of line, you know?
Ah, I love it. I absolutely love it. And I do. I check it out because it's not, something that you can really go out there and miss, because it's one of the, once a week you go, listen, I'm going to make sure that I listen in. And if you don't, what I love that you guys do is if you're not near the radio, you go, hey, you know what, I'm going to sit home. Hey, pull it up on Facebook, which is kind of cool. I like that you guys do that. And so it's a live feed on Facebook as well. Everybody doing a great job over there. So I love the show. We're having a good time tonight, man. We've got hour number three here. Major League Baseball. Let's talk, because it is so difficult to not overreact. But, man, it's a marathon. I know it's been said before, but every single sport, it's calmed down. It goes slow, but baseball, more than any other sport, you can't overreact. But, there are some things that you could take from early on in the season. And the thing that I want to start with is not what's happened, it's what hasn't happened. The Milwaukee Brewers lose Corey Knuebel for the year. Jeremy Jeffries is banged up. Okay? Josh Hader looks fantastic, but he's going to be burnt out. Milwaukee's a team that was a playoff team last year. Their bullpen, who is their biggest strength, it looks a little bit beat up. The Boston Red Sox, Ryan Brazil, okay, but the Boston Red Sox bullpen, one of the worst in the league right now, just not looking good. All right, you go up and down the teams. Philadelphia Phillies, whoa, rough bullpen. I mean, David Robertson has like a 14 ERA, terrible bullpen. They're looking for a closer. The Washington Nationals bullpen, pretty bad. The Atlanta Braves bullpen, already blown some games. The Braves bullpen doesn't look good. And the reason why I'm mentioning all these bullpens is because Craig Kimbrel doesn't have a job. Craig Kimbrel, Brian, is sitting out there jobless. I don't think his demands were too much. This is a guy that you can argue takes the field tomorrow, and he's the best closer in baseball. He's among them. He's a shutdown guy. Now, I know he didn't have a great playoff experience, and I can't believe I'm backing up Craig Kimbrel here, but Philly, Atlanta, Washington, the difference of winning the National League East might be Craig Kimbrel. Milwaukee, the difference between making the playoffs might be Craig Kimbrel. The Boston Red Sox, I know you guys parted ways. The difference might be Craig Kimbrel. People in the Cubs organization are screaming. Cubs fans are screaming, why aren't we going after Kimbrel? Cleveland, who has Brad Hander going, wait a minute, we could do... Every playoff team is sitting around with paper-thin margins in some instances. Bad bullpens early on. I know you can't panic early, but if you knew going into the season it was going to be a problem, like the Red Sox, like the Phillies, like the Nationals, and all of a sudden it's becoming a problem, how does Craig Kimbrel still have a job? Or still doesn't have a job?
Yeah, it is surprising. I think he's not going to be unemployed very long. You know how the commodity that pitchers are in Major League Baseball, and this guy definitely is a difference maker on some team. He's just a consistent good pitcher and can get the job done. And like I said, I think the Rockies are a really good call. It is amazing. Tommy Barton, man, I mean, definitely you should be giving your information more, because, Tommy, that is a really good call. I think he's going to end up a Colorado Rocky, my opinion.
Colorado would be, you know, a fantastic spot. I mean, there's so basically any team he goes to is a good spot, because Craig Kimbrel is a good closer.
No doubt.
And we're getting into a day and age where, you know, bullpens are more valuable now. What about Dallas Keuchel? Now, he is not obviously the Dallas Keuchel that he was a couple of years ago, Cy Young winner, you know, winning playoff games where nobody could touch him. I get that. But Dallas Keuchel is at least a solid three. He might be a two on some teams. And on some teams, you could argue, hey, this guy could lead a staff. The Milwaukee Brewers, Dallas Keuchel walks in the door tomorrow. He's their number one pitcher, right? So you have teams out there that are looking for a guy like a Dallas Keuchel. Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrel have to be employed soon, but I've been saying that all winter. I said that early on, you know, before even March began. I said that before the season. I said, wow, they're both going to have a job before the season. Now we're 10 games into the season. These guys still don't have a job. Where does Dallas Keuchel land, and when does Keuchel and Kimbrel go somewhere?
I still say really, really soon, Tommy. You know the way it is. And for the two of them, especially Keuchel, it's just a great deal. Just keep resting, working out and resting and not putting super, you know, a lot of torque on that arm. And he will be a valuable player somewhere. Both these guys are going to help a team tremendously. Again, we know the commodities the pitchers are. And I'm saying within we won't get out of the month of April without both of them being employed. I do believe that.
Who is the team for Dallas Keuchel? I'm looking at the possibilities. I think Tampa Bay would be an amazing fit, but I don't think he goes
No, he doesn't
there.
Go there.
I've heard my Yankees being involved. I don't think he's going to go there. The Mets could probably use him instead of Jason Vargas. I don't see them emptying the tank there. He's kind of a hard guy to get a fit. To me, Milwaukee makes so much sense. So much sense. But I'm not sure I'm buying into it. I'm having a hard time finding a perfect fit for Dallas Keuchel. I'll say Milwaukee strictly out of necessity, but then again, this team is 8-2.
Don't be surprised if he doesn't end up in the Bronx. And it just, you know, you said the Yankees, put something past him. He's a perfect guy to go to the New York Yankees. And the
I know you'd
be happy about it. And if I had to predict where he ends up, that's where I think he's going to play. I just don't like putting myself out there because I can't see it happening. But then somehow, some way, the Yankees pull off getting guys like Keuchel.
Yeah, they do. And you know, Keuchel would be perfectly fine. The Yankees have just insisted upon Scott Cece being in my rotation.
Right.
I mean, I don't know why, but they just keep rolling him out there. Literally rolling him out.
Yeah, seriously. So. Hey, Tommy, what's going on with a team that I thought would be, and I still think will be competing for the basement of Major League Baseball, my Detroit Tigers starting off 7-3 and 3-0 at Comerica Park?
7-3. How about the fact that they're 7-3? Miguel Cabrera is doing nothing.
I know, right?
He's doing nothing.
No, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing at his age. He's waiting for a rocking chair.
Yeah, he's got like three or four hits, and they're all singles. He's done nothing. They lost the former before the year, which was shocking. Shane Green has become the shutdown guy at the back end of that bullpen.
Hilarious.
It really is. I mean, you know, look, Detroit has a plan. They're building for this. They're going to have moments like this. I don't think it lasts. I definitely think that they are going to still be in the bottom of the basement. But look, it doesn't matter when you get your wins. You know, that's the thing. People always go, oh, you know, September baseball. Listen, if you're getting wins in April, they count just as much as those September wins. May not feel like it, but they certainly do. I'm real impressed with Detroit right now. And especially Detroit's pitching staff. That's what I'm impressed with, that staff. And even the bullpen has just been shut down.
Well, that's been the difference. But I've got to ask you something, sticking with the baseball theme. What blew my mind, a statistic that literally made me fall out of a chair. How in the world the Phillies start 4-0? But that's not the incredible thing. The incredible thing is the last time they started 4-0, Babe Ruth hadn't hit his first home run yet, and World War I was 8 weeks old, 1915. How do you not win four games to start a season by accident in 104 years, especially a team that's had a pretty storied history and has won their share of World Series?
It's one of the reasons I love baseball, because those random stats that you go, it doesn't mean anything to start off the year 4-0. But how is that possible?
Right.
Yeah, it is shocking. It really is shocking that they didn't run into it at one season, right? And somehow or another, you know, the bus didn't break down for some team in 1917. You know?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, my God. I mean, back when they did it, there was probably, what, 8 teams in the league? I mean, you know, it's just crazy. It was really a staggering statistic that I was surprised, you know, especially like the Phillies. It's a team with a rich history. But what's surprising you the most this year with what you're seeing in Major League Baseball? And you talked about Mike Trout, and I know you wanted to get more into that, about what Timmy says, you know, one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And you're 100% right. When you look at his sheer numbers of what he's done to this stage of his career into his mid-20s, it's staggering. He is unbelievable and crazy. And one other guy that I want to talk about, and I'm all over the board here, but Cody Bellinger, his 7 home runs already?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you, what's surprising me the most is the Cleveland Indians pitching staff is looking like garbage. Corey Kluber.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks terrible. Carlos Carrasco was blown up in his first start and then played the White Sox. I mean, it's not like they're playing, you know, these ridiculous teams. I thought the Cleveland 1-2-3-4, including Clevinger, who looked good today, I thought that they would be unstoppable. I am stunned, absolutely stunned, at the Cleveland Indians, how bad they look. Same thing with Justin Verlander. Now he goes against the Yankees tomorrow. Verlander's got almost a 5 ERA this year. I'm shocked that Max Scherzer was 0-2 before today, and today gave up 4 runs. I'm shocked that the starting pitchers don't have the advantage early on that they're used to having. They usually have. And some of these starting pitchers, you look around the league and you go, all right, we know what's going to get better for guys like Kluber and Verlander. But it is a little concerning when you start getting up there in age. You remember that Kluber was dangled on the trading block this year, right? The Indians talked about trading Kluber and Carrasco, two guys that could be Cy Young Award winners, and you're just sitting back and you're going, wait a minute, why are they dangling them? And they get off to these bad starts, it starts to become one of those where there's smoke, there's fire situations.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. And also, the thing is, the pitchers you're talking about pitched deep into the postseason. And when you're pitching into the postseason, you're pitching into when it's colder weather, it's extra games and more torque on those arms. And those are very pressure-packed arms that aren't only affecting you physically, but they're affecting you mentally. And it might carry over into the next season. And, you know, a guy like Verlander, like Kluber, these guys are up there. They have pitched a lot of major league innings. And at some point, the wheels have to start coming off as the velocity starts going down. And, you see that with Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, you know, Kershaw is a guy that I think he comes back. I think he has a great year, but you're right. You know, look, they have to manage now. That's what we're talking about is managing these superstars, managing these guys' arms. It's definitely something to look at. Let's take a timeout now. We'll come on back. I want to talk about this Mike Trout stuff because it was interesting. My immediate reaction to Tim Unglesby saying Mike Trout is one of the top 25 greatest players of all time. I said, no way, Tim. You know I love Trout, but no way. Started breaking the list down. I'll tell you what the results that I found, and I want to hear from you guys because let's do it into categories of where do you put Mike Trout right now, all time. And then where do you put him all time of what you've seen? And you've seen, I'm assuming you guys are 80s, 90s, and moving up from there. So we'll say modern era and then all time. I want to hear your take. I was shocked when I started to dig into the numbers. We'll take a quick timeout. Be right back. Heat Wave Sports.
Now back to Heat Wave Sports. Here's Tim Unglesby and Tom Barton.
All right, still Tom Barton and my great co-host, Brian Sullivan. Doesn't look like Tim is going to make it to the show, but we're taking his topic and we're running with it because Tim Unglesby made the declaration that made me actually have to go against a guy that I like to root for, and I'd like to root for Mike Trout. He is my favorite non-New York Yankee baseball player. He's probably my favorite non-my team athlete, we'll say, if you have one of those guys. Right? I really enjoy him. I really like him off the field, on the field. I like everything about Mike Trout. I love the fact that he's a quiet, humble superstar. But this is about on the field. And Tim Unglesby made the declaration that Mike Trout, he believes, is one of the top 25 players in the history of baseball right now. My immediate reaction was hell no. You can't do it now. no way, no how. Mike's too young. He's too young, too few seasons under his belt. That's it, Tim, you're crazy, no way. Then I stopped and I started thinking about it, and I said, you know, what about guys that had very brief careers? Sandy Koufax comes to mind. Sandy Koufax did not have many seasons under his belt. Sandy Koufax is a player that I think we all comfortably put inside the top 10 and most likely the top 5 greatest pitchers of all time. Well, if Mike Trout retired today, would he be looked at as a Sandy Koufax-esque figure? I think he might be, because he's dominated the sport like few before him have ever done it. Well, then I started to think about hitters. Well, what about hitters? Well, Joe DiMaggio did not have a long career, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, look at Joe DiMaggio's career. Now, granted, you know, 3 years of the prime of his career, he was out fighting a war for this country, right? But he didn't have extensively long career. Joe DiMaggio dominated the sport like few before him. So you start to find precedence for the idea that maybe Mike Trout is among the top 25 great baseball players of all time. But I start breaking it down, and the numbers are just against you if you want to say baseball player. So I eliminated that list, and I started to break down hitters. Let's take pitchers out of the equation, because you put pitchers there. Mike, you know, he's not there yet, and it's not really close, okay? Well, let's talk about hitters. So guys that landed inside my top 25, right around, you know, that number 25, guys like Frank Robinson were there. That's a lofty name. You know, those are guys that are lofty numbers, lofty names. That's the kind of guys that he would have to be competing against. You know what? He could be. He's in the conversation. So then I wanted to take it one step further. And I said, what about guys I saw play? Because inside my top 10, I have, obviously, Babe Ruth at the top. I got guys like Honus Wagner and Tris Speaker and Ty Cobb, guys I did not see. I even have guys like Ted Williams and Joe DiMaggio. Most of my top 10, most of my top 25 are players I did not see. So among the players that I saw, and I'm going from the 80s on, really, where does he land? Is he in that George Brett vein? Is he better than Derek Jeter? Is he better than Wade Boggs? And the answer, time and time again, came up, yeah, he's right there, if not better. The guys that I saw that, to me, are on his plane, Tony Gwynn, Frank Thomas, Ken Griffey Jr. Now, Frank Thomas had the numbers. If you look at Mike Trout's numbers and Frank Thomas's numbers for the first 6-7 years of their career, they're eerily similar, guys. Eerily similar. Problem is, Frank Thomas was basically a DH or a bad first baseman. Mike Trout is a tremendous center fielder, and he runs. Nobody's going to be able to hold up with Tony Gwynn's batting average, but when you talk about power and steals and running, what about a guy like Ricky Henderson? Ricky Henderson is inside my top 25 of all time. Can Ricky Henderson be compared to Mike Trout? I think that's a good comparison. But the best comparison that I came up with was Ken Griffey Jr. When we were younger, Ken Griffey Jr. was that guy. Do I have to take Ken Griffey Jr. inside my top 25 hitters of all time? I think he's right there. I think he's right there. And you think about the impact of what Ken Griffey Jr. did. What did he do? He hit home runs. He stole bases. He played tremendous defensive center field. He never got a ring. And that means a lot to me in the context of, I got to at least see what Mike Trout does, you know, in the playoffs. There's a lot of years left. So I want to ask you, Brian, and I want to put it out there to you guys, 876-1340 at Tom Barton Sports. Where does Mike Trout land? You could divide it up. You could break it up like I did. But I want to hear your thoughts on where he is right now. Not what he's going to be. Not what he could be down the road. Where he is right now. If his career stopped today, where is Mike Trout all time? Where is he among the people that you've seen? I think it's been settled a long time ago. He's the best right now. But let's put it into historical context, because I was shocked how close Tim's statement actually was.
Yeah, you know, it's so tough to say right now, because you've got to play longer. It's longevity. You can't make him one of the top 25 all time right now if his career ended. It's just not long enough. It's like, can you make Kurt Warner one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? It's unfair to say no when he didn't play and start playing in the NFL till he was, what, 28 years old? I mean, so Mike Trout's got to play longer and keep it at this level. I think he will, and I say, based on his numbers and what he has done to this point 6 years into his career, absolutely. I mean, he's been an all-star every season he's played, two-time American League MVP, you know, of course, Rookie of the Year. The guy's ridiculous. I think Ken Griffey Jr. is a very fair comparison. You know, right now, and this is, let me put it to you this way, because these are two completely different baseball players, but this is how great I think Mike Trout is personally. Growing up, what I told my son is, I had him watch videos. I said, if you want to emulate somebody on the field, not off the field, not personal, let's just talk about purely playing. One of the greatest I ever saw, Tommy, was Pete Rose. I've never seen a guy work harder at everything he did. Every time the guy stepped up to the plate, it was like the blasted bat of his life. And I said, emulate Charlie Hustle, a very well-deserved nickname, on the field. Right now, I would tell my kid, watch Mike Trout play baseball. This guy plays it to win every time he's at the plate, every time he's in the outfield. He goes for fly balls as good as anyone I've ever seen. So when you tell a kid you want him to emulate this player, you're saying one of the greatest of all time. And I've switched now, where I would tell somebody to watch Mike Trout play. I think he is an incredible talent. I think he is so perfect for the game right now in the era and the life with. I mean, this guy doesn't, I heard he does like weather reports back home. He calls in and does this in the off season during the winter. He like goes to where it's snowing and does weather reports. I mean, he is one of the most humble, greatest superstars of all time. Top 25. Not yet. I just can't say that, because you've got to get, I mean, you know, 245 home runs, pretty damn good. 307 career batting average through 7 years, pretty damn good. 190 stolen bases on top of 245 home runs, pretty damn good. But the greatest of all time, give me another 4 or 5 years at these numbers, and yep, you're right there.
Yeah, you said 4 or 5 years. It's scary to think he's had 9 years. He's got 9 seasons under his belt. Yeah. That's why it surprised me. Look, I know this year, you know, would be his ninth, and you know, he's only got 10 games or whatever. And his first year, he only had 40 games. But you're talking about 9 years under his belt. Joe DiMaggio had 12, right? I mean, Joe DiMaggio had 12 years, 12 full years, or 13 if you want to be, you know. Now he obviously he lost those years. Sandy Koufax had 12 years, and his first year he only started 12 games. So there are precedents. Ken Griffey Jr. only played 12 years in Seattle before moving to Cincinnati. So our mind was made up about him then. So it's not as far-fetched as you believe. Let me throw a couple of guys out at you, because these are the tough comparisons. Who's better all time, Griffey or Trout?
Whew. That is really, really tough. I wish I could be like on one of those game shows and say that I pass. But right now, if I have to say who's better all time, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Mike Trout.
Okay. Tony Gwynn or Mike Trout?
God, another wicked curveball. You know what? The power. Mike Trout.
Albert Pujols or Mike Trout?
Mike Trout. Wow, you're killing me. Yeah, you really
this
are
is
killing
what
me.
I went through.
You are really killing me here.
Through.
Wow, Mike yep. Trout.
Now, I know you're a Detroit fan. Miggy Cabrera or Mike Trout?
Holy cow. You know, I got to tell you something, Tommy, and I'm not trying to not be a homer about this. I have never seen a more pure swing in my life than Miguel Cabrera. One of the best swings I've ever seen, and a batting eye in his prime as good as anybody. Man, I don't know about this one. Then if I take into consideration playing in the field, Mike Trout, but I'm going to take Miguel Cabrera.
It's close enough to give you a worry.
Yeah, it is. I think Miguel Cabrera, to me, is the greatest pure hitter of all time.
Well, I mean, I would have an argument with that just because of Babe Ruth, who I always go back to.
Yeah.
But outside of that, yeah, the best that we've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and that goes back to this question. You know, I'm not willing to say Mike Trout is one of the greatest 25 players of all time. I will not concede that right now. I am not willing to say that Mike Trout is one of the top 25 hitters of all time. You know, not or position players, we'll say, of all time. I'm not quite willing to say that. But I believe that I am willing to have the conversation that Mike Trout is the best player I've ever seen. I'm going back to the 80s.
Yeah. Hard to argue that one thing, and he was a little bit before our time, and I got this awesome opportunity back in 2007 to spend Christmas with a great National League umpire, Doug Harvey. And I know his son, he lives here in Vegas, and I got to spend about 4 hours, and I asked him who was the greatest he ever saw. And I had the same opinion based on remembering him as a little boy, but just researching and loving this game. Willie Mays, I thought, was the greatest baseball player of all time. And I mean, just all around player. And Doug Harvey said you could have removed the left or right fielder. Willie Mays could have covered two fields. He was that incredible of an outfielder. Man, Mike Trout, does anyone?
I don't have Willie Mays in my top 10 all time.
You don't, huh? Yeah,
doesn't make my top 10. I know it's controversial. I don't have Willie Mays, and I don't have Hank Aaron, and I certainly don't have Barry Bonds, not even because of the cheating thing. I know batting average is kind of an antiquated notion. But I see if you struggle to hit 300, you just can't be in the top 10 of all time. Not when you have guys like a Babe Ruth, and my argument always behind Babe Ruth is that if Babe Ruth never hit a home run and never pitched, still hit 343 for his career.
Almighty. Tommy, I say this all the time, and not to change, that when I say to people, and I've had this conversation on my show a few times because I think it really is fun, is the most iconic athlete of all time. And you get down to Muhammad Ali. You know, if you really know sports, you get down to guys like Pele when you talk about internationally. But it always comes down to me. I say it's Babe Ruth. I mean, the bottom line is I don't care what corner of the world you go to. You're talking about a guy that died before any of us were born. And yet, people still know him in every corner of the world. He is the most iconic athlete of all time, and so deservedly when you look at his sheer numbers of what he did. And when you take away what he did as a hitter, he was an unbelievable pitcher.
That's always my thing that I go back to when we're talking about, you know, Babe Ruth. I tell people, I go, do you realize that he was the home run king and everything else? If he never hit a home run and never pitched, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's
if
crazy.
He never hit,
crazy.
He's a Hall of Famer. If he never, you know, if he hit 250, he's a Hall of Famer because he's got the home run. I mean, it's just the facets of a game. And that brings me back to kind of Mike Trout, is where we go, what is he known for? He's not known for home runs. He's not known for steals. He's not known for batting average. He's known for it all, right? I mean, that's the best compliment I could give him as well. But when I started going through this, I wasn't going to bring it up on the air. I thought Tim was out of his mind. And now I'm starting to look, and I'm starting to research. Miguel Cabrera is one of those guys that I came up with. Albert Pujols was another guy. Frank Thomas was a guy. And you could pick apart some of their games, but they don't add the defense. They don't add the steals. I know everyone's going to jump on me with Barry Bonds. We already just got it at Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter, Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds, number one, Barry Bonds is eliminated for me for multiple reasons. The most is that he cheated. Okay, we'll eliminate that. Let's say he didn't cheat. Barry Bonds barely hit 300, okay? Even with cheating at the end of his career and everything else, he's barely a 300 hitter. That's number one. Number two, Barry Bonds, before he was on the juice, was a terrible, not mediocre, a terrible playoff performer. Horrendous in Pittsburgh. So Barry Bonds, to me, is not the best player I've ever seen. Griffey probably is in that conversation. Guys like Pujols, guys like Cabrera, as far as hitting are. But I'm willing to concede that Mike Trout might be the best player I've ever seen.
Yeah, I just can't argue with you. Like you said, when you started throwing those players at me, and I really thought, who would I rather have on my team? He just came up every time, and that is really staggering because I wouldn't think so initially. But you're right, when you start literally breaking it down and putting it that way, and start putting him up head to head against other players that I would consider amongst the greatest I've ever seen, he is right there, and I can't think of somebody that I saw that was more dynamic in every aspect of the game and was all-encompassing like Mike Trout. I mean, who was it? There's nobody I can think of. I mean, you're right when you mentioned Derek Jeter, a captain of, you know, to be playing the most prestigious position on the most prestigious sports franchise in existence for so long, you have to look at Derek Jeter and say what he did was nothing short of miraculous as far as sports accomplishments go. But then again, was he a better player than Mike Trout? I don't know, man. I can't say he was.
No, listen, Jeter did things. Jeter played a different position. He played shortstop. I think he's among the conversation of the greatest shortstops of all time. I'm the biggest Jeter fan you'll find, but I understand that his game was specific to what he did. Intangibles. Mike Trout is not doing those intangible things because he hasn't had the chance to. He's just doing things on the field. One question I wanted to ask you, because I do have you, and I don't get to spend a lot of time with Ryan Feldman from Out of Line every Sunday morning. You're a Detroit fan. So this is something that I never had to. I never had a superstar kind of fade at the end. We just talked about Jeter. My favorite player of all time is Mariano Rivera. They went out on top, okay? They had championships. They had that. It bothers me to the core that people took steroids and they cheated. It bothers me as a baseball fan probably more than it should, but it's my little nuances. Things get under my skin, and that's one of them. If I'm a Detroit fan or I'm an Angel fan today, especially if I'm a Detroit fan, what you just said about Miguel Cabrera, I'm furious at the Barry Bonds of the world, because this is the time where Bonds in his career would have been decent and getting better. And Miguel Cabrera is having, and Albert Pujols is having, that career decline that makes sense. They're at a certain age. You have to decline at this age. It's just kind of the way that it goes. We all accept it. We all move on. No problem.
Tom Brady would argue with you, but, you know.
Yeah, well, that's true. But in a statistics game, Miguel Cabrera generally will never, outside of Detroit, will never be thought of as good as Barry Bonds by a lot of the population. But if Miguel Cabrera all of a sudden had the ability to take steroids like Barry Bonds did at the end of his career, and Barry Bonds had his best years when Miguel Cabrera right now is struggling. Does that bother you? That's got to get under your skin, man.
Well, it's bothersome, but, you know, the bottom line is Miguel Cabrera will probably be in the Hall of Fame before Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds is going to get his accolades like Jim Thorpe did after he's deceased. And, you know, I still think that they should put a wing in the Hall of Fame and call it the Bud Selig wing and put all these guys in the Hall of Fame, because numbers-wise, they have to be there. And, you know, I mean, if you're not going to put guys in the Hall of Fame because they did steroids, are you going to take guys out of the Hall of Fame that killed people like O.J. Simpson? I mean, what's worse? So eventually you've got to make way for these people, because even though you're juicing, you still have to be able to see and hit a baseball, which they've said for years is the hardest thing to do in all of sports. So you still have to be able to do that. But there's no question, Tommy, I'm right there with you. It sickens me that these guys cheated and diluted what has been known as America's pastime forever. I mean, it's a crime. It's as sickening as back to the Black Sox and a team that was so dominating and great that cheated to throw a World Series. I mean, it really is gross. And, you know, I hope that they keep that. My point is, when they do construct this Bud Selig wing in Cooperstown, I hope they do it right after the last one of them dies, then put that Hall of Fame and put them in there, because you don't want to forget them. Hitting 70 home runs, no matter what you're on at the major league level, is an unbelievable accomplishment. I can't stand Barry Bonds. I don't like the way he treated the media, and then all of a sudden, when he gets caught cheating and lying, all of a sudden he's everybody's best friend. Screw you. But in the same respect, hitting over 70 home runs is unbelievable in a 162-game season in Major League Baseball.
You know who we never even mentioned? Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah. Yeah, you are right. To play the infield and do what he did and hit the number of home runs he did, it's staggering.
Now, I hate A-Rod, but...
I hate him, too. I like his girlfriend, though.
Yeah, nah, I'm not a fan of hers, either. Nah, I'm not a fan of
her.
Jenny's not really from the block. Let's just
well, she's not from the block, but, you know, I'm just talking about aesthetically. She pleases me.
Yeah. maybe 15 years ago.
I'm an old man. She still pleases me, but that's another story. Go ahead.
All right, so we got about 10 minutes left. We're going to go right through here. I have to ask you, I'm hoping that you saw it. Yasiel Puig taking on the entire Pittsburgh Pirates team tonight. Give me your thoughts about that.
Oh, my God. I mean, you know, he is a character, and, you know, he's one of those guys where, you know, when you hear something like that or you see something like that happen, you're not surprised when you find out who was behind it. I'll leave it at that. You know, what are you going to do? This guy is just one of those guys that's always going to have. We talked about it earlier, and we got the context right, the 6 inches. And Yasiel Puig is always going to have an issue with those 6 inches.
Yasiel Puig is a guy that I'm looking at and I'm going, I think one of these years he's going to put it together. I think one of these years he's just going to have that absolutely ridiculous kind of year, the year we've all been waiting for, the year everybody, you know, goes, oh, my God, he goes, you know, something like 40-30. But you're right. He's just still so immature going in this situation. I mean, he literally took on the team. He's got every physical skill. Remember when, and I mentioned Puig because we were talking about, you know, Trout, when Trout came up and people said, wow, Puig's the next Trout. And you look at him and you go, look, physically he might be. But this, it really is ridiculous how he just mentally just can't get it together.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, it's the same issue Michael Vick had in the NFL. If Michael Vick had his wits about him from day one and had the right head on his shoulders, there has never been a better athlete that's played in the National Football League. I'll argue with anybody. We saw it in that one game I referred to earlier in the show where it blew my mind, his ability, and that's the same with Yasiel Puig in the baseball sense. He has every tool and every skill set needed. Speed, power, agility, and yet when it comes to the thought process, God only knows what's going through that man's head at any given time, and that's going to be his biggest downfall. And unfortunately, with the skill set of Yasiel Puig, that's something that will for sure keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
So let's wrap this up with the last 10 minutes. I want to talk about the idea of Major League Baseball. It's early in the season. I need to ask your opinion on this because I have my opinion. I've made it well known, but I want the listeners to know your opinion on this. When do you start to panic if you're in Major League Baseball? Look, I know it's a long season, okay? But many will argue that the Yankees won 100 games last year, but they lost the pennant last year, or they lost the division because of April. You saw a team like the New York Mets get out to, what, an 11-1 start last year. They fell off the cliff. I don't think that a hot start means much, but I think a slow start certainly does.
You're taking me to Boston, aren't you?
I was going to say, listen, not only Boston, Colorado's 3-7. The Cubs are 2-7. The Cubs have 2 wins on the year. You know, so we're all looking at Boston, and they are 3-8. Okay, that is a concern at 3-8, especially who they've played. The Cubs are 2-7. We have more than one team, the Rockies, who are supposed to be in this thing, 3-7. When do you start to get to that uh-oh moment?
I still think you have a little while before that. I think you got to shuffle the lineup. You make a few changes. You have to definitely...
Memorial Day?
You know, yeah, at the latest Memorial Day, because you are right. You can lose the postseason, your opportunity for the postseason, you know, in May. I think April's pushing it a little bit because we have seen teams turn it around, and we've also seen teams collapse after the All-Star break, and it's changed the season for certain teams in the past. I think a few years back with the Kansas City Royals. But the bottom line is I think, you know, probably middle towards the end of May.
here's why I bring this up. Because I believe that wins and losses and statistics can be misleading, or they can be very leading. The Boston Red Sox are 3-8, right? But they're chasing Tampa Bay. And they get 18 games head-to-head with Tampa Bay. The Yankees are not pulling away from this thing. Okay, so while Boston has to be concerned, it's very early, no big deal. Okay. Cleveland didn't get off to a hot start. They won a couple of games. Now they're only half a game. And who are they chasing? They're chasing the Tigers, right? The Houston Astros are 5-5, right? They'll be okay. There are certain teams, the Rockies, they're 3-7. Well, you know what? We never really thought they were going to be, you know, a 100-win team anyway. But a team like the Chicago Cubs, Milwaukee's 8-2. The Cubs are 2-7. The Chicago Cubs find themselves 5.5 games out after the first week. And they're playing Milwaukee right now in a three. They just played them in a three-game series, okay? And they lost the three-game series. They just lost, you know, that series to that team. So now they don't have 18 games left with them. They only have 15 games with them. And I know it's 10 games in, and I've cautioned, do not get crazy. But this is the moment where the 2-7 Cubs are not treated the same to me as the 3-7 Rockies or the 3-8 Red Sox. The 2-7 Cubs is, I don't want to panic right now, but I'm very concerned because of who you're chasing, how you're chasing them, and you've already played them. So to me, the team that's in the worst shape right now that I'd be very concerned, that's the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, you know, you've got a very good point, but the Chicago Cubs supposedly have one of the most savvy general manager vice presidents in all of baseball in Theo Epstein, and they also believe heavily in their manager. I think the Cubs will turn this season around. They'll be okay, but I don't know. I think the Cardinals are going to be a decent team this year. I think the Pirates, you know, the Pirates seem to always find a way there. I don't know how with the budget they have, but they do. And I think the Milwaukee Brewers are the cream of the NL Central this year, and I think that's going to play itself out as the season goes on. But, yeah, should the Cubs start panicking? Absolutely. You start the way they did, 2-7, you got to panic a little bit, and there's a lot expected from this Cubs team again. So we'll see what happens, Tommy. But, you know, I don't know that, you know, if the Cubs continue to play this way, you know, as you said, 5.5 games out right now, yeah, mid-May may be way too late to make changes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you find yourself 8, 9, 10 games out. I don't care who you place it. That's a lot of games to make up. Even if you have time, that's a lot of games to make up. So that's teams. What about a player? Batters, I always just assume, okay, listen, a batter, you know, look at what Paul Goldschmidt did last year. He got off to a miserable start. He was able to turn it around. Pitchers are in a position where, you know, Corey Kluber doesn't look good, but I still feel like he's going to be okay. I worry about closers. It takes a long time to kind of fix themselves. But then you have a situation like this, and I wanted to get Tim's comment on it, but I want to get your comment on it too. Chris Davis is now 0-44 dating to back to last season. The longest 0-4 position player in the history of Major League Baseball is 0-46 by Aguino Velez. So he can beat that. This man is now batting 199. He's 302 for 1,515 with 619 strikeouts since he signed a 7-year $161 million deal with the Orioles. What do the Orioles do?
Me, you, and Timmy, I believe, had a texting conversation about this, and it got a little bit humorous. And I am 100% teasing when I say what they do is they should have put a juice clause in his contract and said, look, get back on the juice, or we're only going to give you $2 million. You know, and as funny as that is, this is a different player than we saw a few years back. He is, I have no idea. I've never seen anything like this. It's like the guy can't hit a baseball anymore. I mean, do you put a multi-million-dollar man back in AAA till he can find his batting eye?
I mean, what they don't really even have a choice at this point. It's unbelievable. That's what I'm asking because I don't even.
You
got
to get his confidence back. I mean, he's 33 years old. That's not too old to play in the major leagues. But to give him the contract they just made him, we all laughed at it and said that is ridiculous. But aside from that, this guy, Tommy, I mean, I have no idea what they do because you're not going to get value for him anywhere right now. It is apparent that he is in the slump of a lifetime. And is it a career-ending slump? Man, do you see any light at the end of the tunnel?
I don't. I was watching the Yankee game, and Paul O'Neill said, you know, maybe you should go to the old Babe Ruth pumping the bat situation, you know, where you lower the bat and you bring it back up. All that does is just make you, like, touch the ball, because that's what Ruth used to do when all of a sudden, you know, he goes through these streaks, just to touch it. And this is what the opposing announcers are talking about, just touch the ball. It's a bad situation.
Oh, for 44. I mean, is that possible at a position player?
I'm pretty sure I could get a hit in 44 at bat.
I'm thinking by accident, right? I mean, the ball hits your bat and does a little Texas leaguer over the first baseman's head. I mean, something.
Lay down a bunt?
Something. I mean, it is unbelievable. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, if he's playing for the Giants right now, every time he's batting, Madison Bumgarner's pinch hitting for him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Brian, I had a great time, man. I don't know when we're going to be able to talk again. I'm going to be listening to your show. Tell everyone how we could all listen to your show.
Yeah, once again, I appreciate that a great deal, Tommy. Sunday mornings right here on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. The show is called Out of Line. We're on from 8 to 9 in the morning, and you can follow the show on Facebook as well. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. And on Twitter, it's at Out of Line, 1340 AM. Really appreciate you and Timmy for letting me fill in, man. Been a lot of fun.
Thank you very much, man. It's been great, guys. We will be back on Saturday. Tim will be back on Saturday night. There is no VGK on Saturday night. They don't play until Sunday. So I'm not sure if we can be preempted on Sunday. But we will be back Saturday night for sure for the 3-hour, for the 2-hour edition. Then Sunday, if we do it, we'll probably be preempted probably for a shortened show. But we'll be back next week.
Hey, Tommy, I'm going to let you.
NCAA tournament. All right, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was going to say, most likely it's going to be preempted. It's a 7:30 start, so.
So we'll be back Saturday, though.
There you go.
And we'll get you ready to move forward. Tomorrow, NCAA championship. Enjoy that, guys. Go check out TomBartonSports.com. I am red, red, red hot right now. I tell you guys when I'm really streaking. I've been streaking for well over a month. Go check it out. It's TomBartonSports.com. Hey, I'm going to say go Virginia. And you guys can listen to me all week long at Sports Garden Share. And if you miss the show, no problem. We have all the replays right on SoundCloud right there. We download them right onto Twitter as well at SportsGarden, GARTEN. Catch me, any questions that you have at Tom Barton Sports over on Twitter. And go sign up now, guys. Don't miss out on this red-hot winning streak that I am at. It's TomBartonSports.com. Thank you to Ari. Thank you to Tim, who's fighting traffic trying to get here. I know he is. He gave us a lot of good topics tonight. And thank you again to Brian. I'm going to be listening this Sunday. He pulled a big duty tonight, man. He really did pull a full day. I know he was on this morning, and now he's going to go get a couple hours of nap, and I'm going to go do the same. Have a very good night, Las Vegas.